Hey, it's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. As always, we invite you to take control of the airwaves here. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's our number, 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms that are open and available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio, it's Ian.
Michael.
I'm Laurel.
Coming up, Laurel, you're going to be telling us about GMOs.
I sure am.
Genetically modified organisms, these foods, usually, that is what we're discussing, and people's knowledge or lack thereof on the subject. And so we'll get into that coming up here. Also, green cards are at issue for some people. Some people are worried about getting them. And Michael, you've got some.
I did find a story just before the show about people not signing their kids up for health care because they're afraid they'll get deported.
So we'll talk about that on the way, too. Of course, your calls and thoughts are also welcome. And we've been following the Venezuela situation throughout the last week. And I know some people out there, you know, they don't understand. Like, why are you talking about this? You aren't in Venezuela. And, you know, as we pointed out last night, the lessons here are applicable to anyone in the world, because Venezuela is not the only country in the world where there are people who call themselves socialists. And they're just one of the countries where the socialists have really gotten total control over the government there and have run things, you know, directly into the ground.
And one of the important things to note is that things were actually going pretty well in Venezuela before they became socialist.
That's true.
Yeah, that's
there was
true.
A time. And of course, it helped that the oil prices were nice and high. And so
that's
that helped.
True.
That created a little buffer for the socialist policies that were being put into place during that time.
The oil money is why Venezuela lasted as long as it did under Maduro and Chavez before him.
Correct. So last night we talked just generally about socialism. Throughout the week, we had discussed the kind of standoff that was going on, where on Wednesday, Nicolas Maduro, who's the current president, or the claimed president of the country, that's part of the conflict, is there's two men who are claiming they're now president. Maduro saying to the U.S. diplomats, you got to get out within 72 hours. And Trump called his bluff, said, we're not going anywhere because we don't recognize you as the president. So you don't have the ability to tell us to leave because you're not the real president, is what Trump said. Russia came in and said, well, if the U.S. intervenes militarily, we're going to intervene militarily. So it was becoming, you know, a potential flashpoint for international conflict. And fortunately, Maduro appears to have backed down as of yesterday, as of the 72-hour limit, the supposed deadline, was wiped away, basically. So at this point, he did not, you know, he did not try to arrest the diplomats. He did not go after them or anything. So that situation has simmered down somewhat.
But I tell you, if I were a U.S. diplomat in Venezuela, I'd be asking for a reassignment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a safe place to be,
No. Period.
Whether or not you're a diplomat, it's not safe to be in Venezuela. It's highly dangerous, crime-ridden. There's a lot of, you know, violent crime. You can't own a gun legally to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good luck. And there are, of course, the government there is corrupt as hell. There's also Maduro's got agents that don't work for the government. He's just got criminal gangs that aren't the government that are on his side. It's like, it's a crazy situation. People are hungry. The economy is terrible because of hyperinflation. And amongst all this, what has really put them in the international headlines this week, because there's always some sort of terrible news coming out of Venezuela that, you know, can be talked about. But the reason why they've been leading in the headlines, they're at the top of the Drudge Report tonight, and they have been for the past several days, is because you've got two sides saying, we're the president. So one is Nicolas Maduro, the most recent president, who's now saying he's in his second term. And then the other one is this Juan Guaido, who is saying, I'm now the new president because the National Assembly has selected me, basically, as this interim president until we can have some elections that are not seen by others in the world as a total sham, which is the way lot of the
election was completely rigged, and nobody really disputes that, even the people who are...
Oh, Maduro would dispute it.
Well, Maduro, The thing is, Maduro is kind of starting to lose his hold because he can't even feed his military anymore.
Well, they're still getting something.
They're still getting some, but it's not.
He did have 27 National Guardsmen did defect within the last couple of weeks, and they tried to take over a military outpost. They failed. They were
stopped.
And that's not the first time some of his military has defected.
That's true.
Was a couple of years ago, a whole unit made a video saying that they were no longer working for the president.
Yep, that's true. And in fact, there was last night there was news at the end of the night during our show that their attaché, the military attaché in D.C., has now flipped sides to join Guaido as his, you know, leader or whatever.
Guaido is offering amnesty to any military who come over
to his side.
That's a good plan.
Also, and they froze $1.8 billion or some billion plus dollars worth of gold.
Gold in the UK.
Right.
So they've been trying to, Maduro's been trying to get out of the UK for several weeks now.
Yeah, they said, nope, we're not giving it to you. So it's a very interesting situation. It's, you know, outrageous in so many ways. And it's something that, I mean, just internationally it's significant, but it's also significant because socialism can and is happening here in the United States. And it can and is happening in two variety of levels in different countries around the world. So it's important to look and see, you know, why it is that it's a failure and how it is that every single time it's tried, it's been an abject failure because it involves the use of coercive force. And every time you use coercive force to achieve your goals, you will always create unintended consequences. You can predict what the unintended consequences are. So it's not not unpredictable consequences. They're not intended.
And the thing that really keeps me up at night with this is, why do people keep falling for socialism? It's not like we don't have enough history now to know that it's impossible.
Well, because they look at places like Denmark and they say, well, that's close enough and it works there,
socialist,
right?
It's socialist, though.
Yeah, it's, as we've talked about recently, Foundation for Economic Education, I believe, had
a
really good piece
about
that.
They even announced they're not a socialist country.
Did they really? Well, of course, they have forced wealth redistribution programs. So, I mean, you could say that those are vestiges of socialism, but they don't—they're not socialist in that they don't have state-owned, state-operated industry, right? And that helps with, you know, having a healthy economy when the state's not running all of your businesses into the ground, which is, of course, part of what happened in Venezuela. Here's the latest out of Venezuela from Reuters, reporting out of Caracas, where Nicolas Maduro oversaw a display of the army's Russian hardware on Sunday, with anti-aircraft, flak, and tank rounds pounding a hillside to show military force and loyalty in the face of an international ultimatum for new elections.
Those guys are getting the rations.
The military?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and of course, what he's doing here is he's trotting out his buddy's hardware, right? Because Russia is on the side of Maduro. You know, they're one of the few countries that has said that Maduro is a legitimate president, that the elections weren't a sham, and we support Maduro, is what the Russian government has been saying. So, well, we better bring out the Russian military hardware they provided and shoot off some rounds and make a big show of how happy we are to have Russia on our side, is basically, you know, this is just a political event. Maduro, who's 56, is confronting an unprecedented challenge to his authority after Juan Guaido from the opposition, who is, by the way, also a socialist, declared himself interim president, citing a fraudulent election. Guaido's won wide international support. The United States, many Latin American nations, I think France and Germany and the UK recently weighed in on this.
Pretty much everyone in South America except for Bolivia.
On Sunday, Israel joined the countries backing the 35-year-old leader and Donald Trump's administration.
Ooh, he's young.
Said it had accepted, and he kind of came out of nowhere, basically. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he's been around, but he wasn't like, you know, the right-hand man to Maduro or anything like that.
Right.
Venezuela opposition figure Carlos Alfredo Vecchio is the country's diplomatic representative in the United States. Early on Sunday, alongside Defense Minister Vladimir Padrino, Maduro watched a platoon of soldiers release volleys of rocket-propelled grenades, machine gun, anti-aircraft fire, and tank rounds at hillside targets, the Russian ordnance kicking up clouds of dust at the Fort of Farmaque, the armored vehicle base.
You know what? I bet that the opposition inevitably had to be somebody very young, because Maduro would have identified anybody who'd been known before that and would have already taken care of them.
Yeah.
He has been known to imprison his political opponents. And, of course, this young gentleman is rightfully concerned that he's going to be snatched up in the middle of the night. There's more coming up here in moments. Is Maduro, you know, is he in the desperate last days of his administration, or is this going to keep on going? It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program, and we're giving you the latest on what's going on in Venezuela, which is just an absolutely fascinating train wreck. You know, that's for me the fascination of being able to explain to people what went wrong in Venezuela, what continues to be wrong in Venezuela, and how, you know, we can benefit from learning about this and coming to understand that. I think it's interesting. In the same way that we followed North Korea for many years on Free Talk Live, these are two of the most oppressive regimes on the planet. And what do you know? They're both communist/socialist regimes, two of the most successful, if you will. And by successful, I mean to have a total socialist or communist run government rather than a mixed government or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, they got closest to the communist ideal.
Yeah, and you were talking, Michael, about how Maduro doesn't even have enough food to feed his military.
That's what I read about 2 days ago in the news.
And that they'll need to get some sort of rations in from the Russians or something like that in order to keep this going, which reminded me of what happened with North Korea, where back in the 1990s, the communist system completely failed to provide food for
people. North Korea had a famine.
They sure did.
They got food from practically every country, including the U.S.
Well, they were declining food from a lot of countries because they thought that it was some sort of plot to make for Americans to make their way into North Korea and change people's minds. So they actually declined food from other countries.
Ooh, I hadn't heard that one.
And right now in North Korea, there is forever a generation of North Koreans who are several inches shorter. Because of malnutrition during the critical period of their childhood.
So, and finally, in North Korea, of course, they started to look the other way. Kim Jong-un, and I think to some extent his father before him, but definitely during Kim Jong-un, the current supreme leader or whatever they call him, they're kind of looking the other way on the black markets. Basically, like, okay, well, we know people need to eat, so let's just let them get it through the black market. Yeah. We just won't say anything. In fact, we're probably going to buy from it too. You know, that kind of
also
thing.
Also known as capitalism.
The thing that dictators kind of learned in the 20th century is that it's really a bad idea to kill millions of people.
Did they learn that?
No,
I'm not sure they've learned that.
Well, they're not killing millions of people anymore. Now they're killing thousands of people.
So, I mean, it's crazy, and we're laughing about it, but that's all we can do because it is just absolutely absurd and just tragic what's happening in these places. So, you know, we're seeing some good news coming out of North Korea over the last few years. It's a slow trickle of good news. It's not, you know, something to be heralded from the rooftops or, you know, great news, but, you know, hearing that they're looking the other way on market activity is a step in the right direction.
It is. The Korean War might be over soon.
Hearing that the war possibly could be over and looking that it's Donald Trump who actually is helping to broker that peace is really amazing.
Huge surprise. Huge.
Huge. One of the aspects of sort of looking the other way with the black market is it still enables the government to swoop in and arrest anybody at any time if everybody is participating in a market that's illegal. It does give them that power to... You arrest anybody. Right. Not that they would need an excuse, I suppose.
Yeah. Not that they would need an excuse, but they have one.
Yeah.
So, and we'll continue to follow the North Korean situation, but there's definitely some parallels between North Korea and over in Venezuela. So let's continue here. This is the story from Reuters on what's been going on. They're pointing out that Maduro's, he's bringing out the tanks. He's bringing out the Russian military hardware that he's got. He's got a show of force. He wants everybody in the world to know he's still in charge of the military, because that was one of the things that came out earlier this week, was military commanders had come out with a statement of solidarity saying, we are behind Maduro, which is, of course, what they were told to say.
They're still getting the best food.
Yeah, that's true. Their families are likely the ones who are being fed the most in Venezuela. And, of course, if you're in the military, you can't come out and say you're in favor of anyone else. So they were under orders to, you know, show their allegiance to Maduro. And so now he's trotting out all the military equipment and putting on a show for the news cameras. Maduro said the display showed the world he has the backing of the military and that Venezuela's armed forces were ready to defend the country.
Against whom?
Well, presumably the United States.
All right.
Maduro says Guaido is, this is Guaido's the competitor, the one who's also claimed to be president, is taking part in a coup directed by Trump's hardline policy advisors, who include Cold War veterans John Bolton and Elliot Abrams. Maduro said, quote, "Nobody respects the weak, cowards, traitors. In this world, what's respected is the brave, the courageous, power." And he's right about that. And he's probably also right that Trump, to some extent, is behind this challenger, right? I mean, we know that Trump publicly is behind the challenger. There's a good chance the CIA is also involved,
Guaido didn't come out of nowhere without some help.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm against that. I'm against the United States interfering in the affairs of other countries.
Sure.
But
me too.
The people are starving to death.
That was
really bad.
That was my point. I don't really care that much what governments do to each other. But the thing is, you've got millions of people caught in the middle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so if the U.S. actually is going in there and interfering, if it brings some relief to those people, I might look the other way.
Well, again, the problem here is you've got the devil you know, Maduro, mm-hmm. versus this other guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this other guy would also like to be in charge of Venezuela. And is he going to be as bad as Maduro?
Will he be better or worse? I don't know. I don't know.
He's a socialist.
Or even if he's less bad but still bad, then he's the bad guy we put in.
Right. So, I mean, from a libertarian perspective, we shouldn't be involved. The U.S. government.
That's a good point, because the U.S. has put a lot of bad people into power.
Right.
So there's a good chance this person has some kind of influence by the U.S. government, CIA. There's CIA funding, you know, behind him. Who knows what all is going on in the background? Because obviously the U.S. wants a friendly puppet, you know, somebody mm-hmm. that they can have on their payroll or manipulate in a place like that, especially in an oil rich country like Venezuela. And if they can accomplish it without rolling in a tank, that's obviously the way to do it. That's not just because I'm against military or U.S. meddling in other countries doesn't mean I'm against the individual being able to support one side or another. So I think that if you, the individual, say, well, I'm against Maduro and I want to help, you know, Guaido and his side, then send a donation. You know, send something down there. If you send $1 to those folks, they would be super happy.
Oh, I think Maduro would take it. How are you supposed to get the money to them?
I would just mail it to them.
You know, I've seen people in...
you can do Bitcoin. You can do Bitcoin.
Bitcoins. Maybe Bitcoin. But this is a good example of the U.S. government in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Mm. Because if the United States meddles and then gets this guy in power and then he does bad things...
It turns out to be worse or as bad.
Or even less bad, but still bad.
Yeah.
Then, okay, so we shouldn't have done that. But what? So we should stand by and do nothing while millions of people starve? Because we would be blamed...
Yes, the United States government should do nothing. That's what a non-interventionist foreign policy is all about.
But the United States would still be criticized for doing nothing.
It's okay. They're going to criticize you for everything. But you don't have to do nothing as an individual. You can gather together Red Cross or whoever it is, whatever charities are down there, donate to charities to feed people, you know, donate to bring food into Venezuela. Of course, if it gets confiscated by the government, then there's a problem there.
I've heard that Maduro is seizing food aid that has been coming in.
That wouldn't surprise me. So it's not necessarily an easy situation to deal with. But just because I'm against the government being involved doesn't mean I'm against individuals taking action. You could go down there and, you know, get involved. It's a crazy risk, but, you know, different people should be able to take different levels of involvement. You know, go down and volunteer for Guaido or whatever, you know.
Sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah, well, or just give some Bitcoin. 855-450-FREE.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. The Bitcoin.com wallet is available on Windows, Linux, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin, BTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com. That's wallet.bitcoin.com.
It is Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. As always, you can join us right here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. If you are an individual who rejects the initiation of force and agrees to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle, then you qualify to use liberty.menu. It's a tool for the libertarian community. At its core, it's a directory for events, businesses, and digital content. So whether you are a business person, a content creator, an events coordinator, there are listings designed for you over at liberty.menu. It helps other liberty-minded folks find what it is that you do, and you get to find what other people do as well. It's like a map-based site, and it looks very nice. It's very easy to use, and it's free, so you can add yourself to the map over there, and you can do more than one entry for the different things that you're involved in over at liberty.menu. Again, totally free. You can also use code FTL, and you'll get a special listener badge on your user profile. That's liberty.menu. With you in the studio, it's Ian.
Michael.
I'm Laurel.
We've been talking about the latest out of Venezuela. Between the fighting sides, two different men claiming to be president of the country, you've got Nicolas Maduro, the previous president, who's claiming he's in for a second term, and the Supreme Court is backing his statement on that in Venezuela, whereas the National Assembly, which is opposition-controlled, is saying, nope, not Maduro, it's this guy over here, Guaido. Juan Guaido is the current president, he's the interim president, and that's what they are going to be recognizing. Countries from around the world have been weighing in on who they are recognizing, and a large number of them are weighing in on the side of Guaido. So what's the latest? Maduro rolls out some of the Russian military hardware he's got and is doing a little show of force. He says, quote, "Nobody respects the weak. Cowards. Traitors. In this world, what's respected is the brave, the courageous power," he said. He then said further, quote, "Nobody should even think of stepping on this sacred soil. Venezuela wants peace, and to guarantee peace, we have to be prepared." He said from February 5th, or 10th through the 15th, the military is planning larger exercises that Maduro described as the, quote, "most important in the history of Venezuela." Sounds an awful lot like what you see in North Korea, right, where they got the military parades and the marching, you know, all the rolling the missile launchers through the streets, you know, this big show of force.
Just what this looks like, yeah. Except they don't usually fire that many of them in North Korea.
No, that's true. They don't have enough.
His rhetoric sounds like any military leader.
Sure.
Yeah, not just a communist
Any dictator.
Exactly. Yeah.
The show of force was accompanied by a government publicity campaign online based on the slogan, get this, "always loyal, never a traitor." It's pretty clear what they're doing here, right?
Yep.
They're saying, you're either with us or against us. Kind of like the old George Bush phrase from, you know, a decade ago. If you're not
with us or you're with the terrorists.
That's right. If you're not with Maduro, you must be a traitor, is the suggestion here. Following a high-profile defection by a country top military, or the country's top military diplomat in the United States on Saturday, and that was the breaking news that we had last night on this situation, was the military attaché from Venezuela who's based out of D.C. He's flipped, but it's safe for him to flip because he's in D.C., right? So he doesn't have the whatever secret police of Venezuela breathing down his neck because he's in Caracas. He's in D.C., so he, in the safety of his, you know, Washington, D.C. apartment or wherever it is he is.
I would not be surprised if the whole Venezuelan embassy in D.C. has flipped.
Good point.
I wouldn't criticize him for doing that, though. That's just being smart. Like, I think I'll wait till I'm safe.
Yeah, no, I'm not criticizing him. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
Like, he probably wouldn't have done that if he were still in Venezuela, and that's why you've got all these military generals who are saying they're on Maduro's side, because they don't want to be thrown in the brig. Yeah, they don't want to get their life taken from them in some sort of show of force. If he's going to show a force with military hardware, there's no reason why he wouldn't take some traitors out and put bullets in their heads next, you know, on video. Because he's desperate. You know, he's literally got a good chunk of the world basically hovering outside of his gates saying, we want to do something about this. They haven't, you know, no one has made a military incursion in there yet, thank goodness, because that's not going to be good for anybody.
Not just the rest of the world, but even his own people.
Correct. Yeah, there's a huge schism within the country.
I think if an opportunity opens, he's out of there.
Well, that's the question is, you know, where does that happen? How does that opportunity, you know, become real?
That's true.
Because it usually has to do with, you know, when it comes to deposing dictators, frequently it's the military that does the deposing, right?
Somebody close to him.
Yeah, somebody flips or enough people flip at the same time to flip on him, close to him, get him, get his body, and put him out of the country or kill him or whatever it is that they,
yeah,
they do
to him. Be a little surprised if Maduro lasts another week without one of his military generals putting a bullet in his head.
You think so? Because he's made it pretty long so far. I mean, with mass hunger in the country.
Somebody in there close to him has got to be unhappy about everything he's done.
You know, I got to say, this would be an argument for non-intervention by the United States. Mm-hmm. Because if it's really as bad as we say it is, then
somebody will take care of it
internally.
Yeah, it will happen eventually. It's just, it's frustrating to watch how long it takes. I mean, to
it's
watch
been a long time.
Go hungry, to watch babies go without medicine. I mean, it's a hard thing from the outside to watch. And we don't even know half of it. You know, we only know what we're being told by the media that's down there reporting. Mm-hmm. It's likely much worse than the way it seems. But let's go to Matthew. He's on the line in Louisiana. You're welcome to weigh in here with your thoughts on this or anything that's on your mind. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, well, first off, good evening. And Laurel, that was a great video you just put up on your YouTube channel.
Oh, thank you.
What is your YouTube channel? Why don't you plug it?
It is, right now, it's called Laurel. I changed the name of it, so it is called Laurel.
That's the actual, that wasn't taken? On nobody had taken the name?
It's the name of my channel. In order to get to it, you do www.youtube.com/C/Laurel's channel.
Okay, could they just search for Laurel C. Scott or something like that? Or
no.
Laurel.
Laurel's channel.
It's just Laurel, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, one of the things I was I heard yesterday you had a couple of callers mention that we were hungry for their oil. Their oil is like tar.
Venezuela?
You can mix it. Yes, you can mix it with lighter oil and refine it. But, no, we're not especially hungry for their oil. Kind of wish they hadn't seized those three offshore drilling rigs that now the Russians are claiming are theirs. Mm. But
who were they? Wait, who owned them previously?
Exxon. Well, actually, they were all owned by Transocean. But Exxon was leasing one of them. British Petroleum was leasing one of them. And I believe Chevron was leasing one of them. It could have been Shell, but I think it was Chevron.
And when did they, so was Maduro's government that seized them? When did that happen?
I think it was Chavez.
It was back in the Chavez day.
Oh, wow. Oh,
it's been a while then.
So they took a hold of them and turned them over to the state-run oil company then.
Right, and now the state-run oil companies turned them over to the Russians because they can't figure out how to make them.
They took them away from people who knew how to run them.
Right. Well, that's the
whole
story.
And didn't know how to run them.
That's the same story for every single business they've nationalized in Venezuela. That's what's happened.
They've all failed, and that's why everyone's starving.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason.
Right.
But, yeah.
What's amazing to me is that, okay, so Maduro has made these deals with China, which China has some money and could help Venezuela out as far as helping out the people. China's done squat. He's made these deals with the Russians. The Russians have done squat. So, but these people are just, you know, these allies of Maduro are not content, are just content to watch these people suffer and not go up to Maduro and say, hey, buddy, you're doing it wrong. Let's help you out a little bit. I'm just amazed. The best thing, if we did any sort of intervention, just start shipping them crates of MREs and High Points.
Well, the problem is, as was pointed out before, if the government intervenes in the shipment, then you're just giving ammo and food to the government.
Right. So that needless to say, is a weak spot in that particular plan.
Yeah, there's some serious challenges. Do you have more to say, Matthew? If so, you can stand by.
Yeah, sure.
All right. More with Matthew coming up here in Louisiana. Your calls and thoughts also welcome here. Just, you know, doing the best we can to analyze this situation from the outside. And, of course, you're welcome to share your opinions here live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. Open phones, as always, at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. You dial toll-free to join us. Bring up anything that you want. Free Talk Live brought to you by the Free Talk Live AMP program, and listeners like Ryan Johnson, who's a Free Talk Live Silver amplifier. That means that Ryan is contributing $5 per month to the Free Talk Live AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And the idea is that we will take that $5 in and we'll invest it into Free Talk Live so we can get on more radio stations around the country and bring new internet listeners on board as well. So if you want to help us out, this is one of the best ways that you can do it. It's a direct way to fund continued expansion of the ideas of peace and liberty and freedom and cryptocurrency and the cool stuff that we talk about here. So please do what Ryan Johnson did. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there. There's a list of all the perks that you get access to, like the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, which doesn't have the regular commercials our normal podcast does. There's also the AMP-only Facebook group and more. So please go to amp.freetalklive.com, sign up with PayPal, credit card, or Bitcoin BTC. And we sure do appreciate it. So once again, that's amp.freetalklive.com. We're back with Matthew in Louisiana. We've been discussing Venezuela and the latest that's coming out of that country with the continuing controversy, the continuing conflict that has been brewing between the so-called opposition and the current dictator slash president, Nicolas Maduro, who's claiming a second term. Matthew, you had more to say, so please go ahead.
Okay. There's one last thing is that about Venezuela, then our exciting news in Louisiana.
Okay.
This guy is not going to go without violence unless the Russians just or the Chinese just tap him on the shoulder and say, you've got to go. Yeah. You're going to join the dictator's retirement plan. Who knows? Maybe he can learn how to code. In southeast Louisiana, offshore, in the deep water, BP has successfully drilled an exploratory well that indicates they've got a field of about a billion barrels.
That sounds like a lot.
That's quite a bit of oil.
It is a lot. Yes. And so all these people saying that Venezuela's got the largest reserves of oil, I'm like, they've got the largest reserves of roofing tar? But not much of that actually is refinable for transportation fuel.
Okay.
So, all right, that's all I have. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks, Matthew, for the call tonight. So basically he was saying that the oil that Venezuela has isn't the prize of the world is the suggestion there. Let's continue. We've got Dan in Virginia listening to WNIS. Hello, Dan.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
Happy Sunday evening.
Welcome. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I just wanted to weigh in on the Venezuela thing. I heard,
please.
I heard you guys talking about really being able to help someone, and where the help is really needed is at the Colombian border. Because for the last 3 years, Colombia has basically been overrun with the, just like human migration. In the thousands and hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, refugees, basically. People trying to escape and go somewhere where they can get some rice, get some basic food items.
Anything that like that. And there's several groups that are down there trying to get some medicine and food and, really try to make a difference to the Venezuelan people. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things they do to make money is they take their currency and they weave mats and different things out of the money because it's totally worthless.
Yeah, that's about all it's good for.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And some of those are quite nice, but they're doing anything they can just to survive. And, whether we intervene or anyone else intervenes, the real problem there is the complete breakdown of any type of system that allows people to make any money for themselves or to put any kind of organization or corporation together.
Yeah, you can't own anything, in private without the government coming along and taking it. If you have a company that can somehow succeed in this terrible economy that the government has, ruined in Venezuela, if you start having signs of success, then it's just a matter of time before they swoop in and take it right out from underneath you, like they've done with hundreds of companies.
Which is why Venezuela looks like it does now.
Part of the reason.
Yeah, and nobody in Venezuela is going to try to change that until the government changes. There's no sense in trying to start any kind of industry or anything that's going to succeed when you know that it's going to immediately be taken by the current government that's in power.
Correct.
But if you have listeners and they really want to help, don't go to Venezuela. Go to Colombia. That's where the action is.
Organizations down there now that you can name that people can, because not everyone can get on a plane and go down to Colombia.
It's a good question.
There's several organizations, World Relief, all your basic, you know, organizations that you see helping refugees around the world. They've all, you know, they've kind of concentrated a lot of effort into that area, and they have been for about the last 2 years. It's mm-hmm. just not something that you hear in the media, but, you know, and if you're going to send some money somewhere, send it to one of those groups, you know, that are actually making a difference in the people's lives, because the people know, like, even when they get desperate for medicine and stuff, they know if they can cross the bridge into Colombia, they'll at least get some type of assistance.
Right.
I would recommend to everybody that whatever organization you decide to give money to, be sure to research it first.
Good
because
advice.
A lot of organizations, a lot of the money goes towards the administration. You want to be sure that most of the money is going to the people that they're actually trying to help.
Yes. Yes. Operation Blessing, believe it or not, does a great job in areas like that. But, I mean, it's your own personal choice, but I do believe it'll change shortly, because it's gotten so bad that, you know, I think one of you guys said the general, one of those generals is going to come up and put a bullet in that guy's head.
Yeah, that was my suggestion. If that doesn't happen within the next week, I'll be surprised.
I would be very surprised as well.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Great advice, helping out by helping at the border to help people who managed to escape from Venezuela into Colombia. And reminds me of a news story from within the last couple of years. There was one time where Maduro allowed the people from Venezuela to go into Colombia for a shopping day.
Mm-hmm.
He literally opened up the border because, well, he must have known that they can't eat by buying things in Venezuela. So he let them go into Colombia where there was, you know, food aplenty. All kinds of, you know, things were available, and many vendors were there and happy to, you know, to help them. And of course, about, I think, tens of thousands of people, maybe even 100,000 or so, like, crossed the border. There was a lot of people who went over in this weekend, basically, where they opened it up. And a good 10,000 of them apparently, like, stayed.
Never came back.
They didn't come back. But, you know, a lot of folks had to come back because they got family that were waiting on them to return with some actual food. So that happened, and I don't know if it's happened since. Since then, he has implemented a border patrol. I suspect the reason is not to keep Colombians out of Venezuela, but to keep the Venezuelans from leaving Venezuela in that particular case, because, you know, no one wants to come into Venezuela. No one's sane. Nobody, you know, you're not going to make any money for the most part. So anyway, that's there's more to say here. Your calls and thoughts are certainly welcome. We continue with Jaden on the line on our Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Go ahead, Jaden.
Hi, I called in yesterday.
Yes, sir.
And I was talking about my experiences on the Chicago Project, and I just wanted to tell a story.
Sure.
My friend.
We're here. Go ahead.
So he was walking home from a church. He's a pretty religious Baptist guy, and he...
LRN.FM. It's not ever going to work, because we've got technology on our side.
You were so ready for that. I saw you. You were
totally ready. It's too bad, too, because last night he actually had a real sounding call. Uh-huh. So, that doesn't work, bro. Toll free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us here, that's 855-450-3733. If you want to get on the actual radio, you can't say things that can't be broadcast on the radio. Because if you do say things that can't be broadcast on the radio, we will use the magic of what they call the dump machine, where we can literally make time disappear. So we just made what you said never make it to any of our radio affiliates. The people watching on Twitch, however many of them there are, they heard it. Okay, so congratulations. You just got heard by whatever, you know, two dozen. Let's see, how many people do we actually have on Twitch here? I'm just curious. It's always interesting to see what kind of statistics we have over there. By the way, Twitch is 13, so just over a dozen, which probably includes him. So, I know he's got at least a few buddies who are now calling in on the other line. So that's probably a good, you know, third of our Twitch audience. So really, it was really only your friends who heard you say that. So
and us.
Pretty much pointless.
And us, yeah.
So anyway, toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. You can bring up what you want here on Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything. That's the point of the show. We got more on Venezuela Plus. Let's see. Laurel, you've got a story about GMOs. This is an issue that we haven't talked about on Free Talk Live in a while. Hmm. It's one that gets some people pretty riled up because they feel very strongly about, well, what they put in their body. So are these GMOs dangerous? What do people think about them? We'll share that coming up with you in hour two. It's Free Talk Live.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash also features smart rewards, a price stabilization mechanism, and a way to encourage long-term holding. Long-term holders are key to the project's success. You can earn smart rewards on any address for which you hold the private keys, which holds at least 1,000 smart for 1 month and does not make any outgoing transactions during that time. Smart rewards are distributed every 47,500 blocks to all eligible addresses. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the second hour of this live Sunday edition of the program. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Michael.
I'm Laurel.
Coming up, GMOs, genetically modified organisms, these foods that some people are afraid of. You've got a story about it, Laura. We're going to get into that coming up here. But, of course, your calls and thoughts also are welcome at Free Talk Live. In fact, we will allow you to bring up anything that's on your mind. Plus, we still have more on the latest on what's going on in Venezuela, the conflict that continues to get more, you know, intriguing and interesting as time goes on. Unfortunately for the people that are there, it's not helping them get fed. So we'll talk more about that too, and of course take your calls as we are going to right now. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, there's a bill in the Senate. They're having a session right now. And it's to increase the penalties for reckless driving. So penalize, because, you know, over here, they run over the same pedestrians, two different cars. It happens like every other year.
They run over the same pedestrians?
Pretty rare, I mean, for that to happen, right? You're talking about somebody who gets run over by one car and then the other car behind them can't pull away in time and they run that person over as well?
At least happened like 10 times, and I've been here 17 years, so it's a pretty common occurrence. So it usually happens at night, like 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see them.
Yep.
But I think it's just negligence. You know, it's just complete carelessness.
Well, as we've talked about before, you're right. It is negligence on the part of the person who's walking, because most of the people who are getting hit by cars that are on foot are being negligent because they're drunk while they're walking, and so they'll do things like fall into the road. So if somebody is walking alongside they're on a sidewalk next to a fairly fast moving roadside, mm-hmm. they're drunk and then they stumble into the road all of a sudden.
There's
not much you can do as a driver in that situation. You could try to slam on your brakes. If you swerve, you might end up, running into another car. So you can try to slam on your brakes, try to swerve to avoid it, but that could cause another accident. I mean, there's just, in a circumstance like that, there's very little, no matter how on the ball the driver might be, there's very little that can be done.
Not just in New Mexico. When I lived in Philadelphia, man, the pedestrians had way more confidence in my driving ability than I did. They didn't have to be drunk. They would just walk out into the middle of the road. And like busy roads where people were going 30 miles an hour or higher.
And they would expect you to dodge them. But it's funny because just the other day I was reading a story. I don't know exactly where it was, but I'm sure it's in the news somewhere. Apparently, Albuquerque is one of the top 10 cities for pedestrian deaths, but the strange thing I thought about that is that 7 of the 10 top 10 cities for pedestrian deaths were in Florida.
Huh. Well,
we take the cake, though. What good does
Albuquerque is. But the article is saying something about it being factors about how the roads are designed. They're not very pedestrian friendly.
In Albuquerque or in Florida?
In Florida.
Okay.
I don't know what they are in Albuquerque. I don't think I've ever been to Albuquerque. I've been to Las
There's
Cruces.
Sidewalks everywhere in Florida, so I'm not sure what more you need besides a sidewalk as a pedestrian.
There are tons of sidewalks in Philadelphia, so it's not like the sidewalks are going to stop people from doing that.
Well, you do need to stay on the sidewalk.
Right.
Yeah.
Sarah, anything else you want to share? Go ahead.
The reason why why that we want to, you know, there's a bill, Bill Rehm, the rep, he wants to increase the penalties for careless driving because of these pedestrians that get run over two times. Okay, the first time they get run over, but it's carelessness. If the second car could careless and run over the same person over two times.
If the car is right behind the other car, they only have another fraction of a second to make that pull away. I mean, it's not, you're not talking about a long period of time. The faster the, now I know you've never actually driven a car before, Sarah, but you know, when you're driving a car, the faster you're going, the less time you have to react to something that goes wrong.
Yeah, but Ian, I got to say, you're supposed to follow at a safe distance from the car in front of
you,
so that if the car in front of you stops, you're supposed to have enough time to stop.
Nobody ever does that.
Well, I do. I try to
do
it. Yeah. I consider people to, I just consider other drivers to not know what they're doing and drive appropriately considering that. So.
But it's possible that they didn't see the car in front of them hit somebody.
It's absolutely possible, especially if it's
especially
nighttime.
Especially at night, yeah.
Especially if the person, you know, is fallen into the road because they're drunk. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't even notice them fall in, and then you certainly didn't notice them get hit because you didn't notice them fall in the first place. And then it's just the thump. And then, oh, whoops, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know.
Well, I mean, do you think drivers make errors too? Do you think they must make mistakes with their two-ton cars?
Of course.
Why is it always just pedestrians?
We're not saying it's always, okay, but so, statistically, it's drunk pedestrians that are the real problem here, Sarah. I mean, do you want to believe the facts, or do you want to just keep living in your little world where it's always the cars
who are
causing this problem?
Well, I'm just saying the responsibility falls equally on both parts.
You know, equally?
Because the drivers are the one with the vehicle.
There's no doubt drivers have a responsibility to be aware of their surroundings and be present enough to not be sitting on a phone or yelling at the kids in the back seat or changing the radio station constantly or whatever it is.
Doing their makeup.
Yeah, or all those things. So certainly drivers bear responsibility. And in some accidents, it's absolutely the driver's fault. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact is, you got drunk pedestrians, and that's a huge problem. Sarah, thank you for the call tonight. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. And, of course, the answer isn't to ban drinking or to ban pedestrians who are drunk. It's just that's just the risk of being S-faced drunk and walking alongside
of them. Yeah, you've got to pay attention to where you were going. And that brought to mind a story from like a year ago in Arizona where they have the self-driving cars. This lady...
I remember that.
Stumbled out into a four-lane highway and got hit by a self-driving car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because she just stumbled out right in front of the car, and they had the car had no time to react.
Yeah, computer couldn't. Even the computer, with all of its reaction ability, couldn't pull it off.
Right. And apparently, I don't know if the woman was drunk or what, but she just stepped out in the middle of the highway.
Let's go to the Discord on-air call-in line rooms where Fat Knight is on the line calling us from Texas. Go ahead.
Oh, hey. So my topic was I'm talking about Honduras, right?
Okay.
And like I was reading up on the news about Honduras because I'm from there. And apparently, guess what? There's a protest there. And every time I think about it, there's just more and more protest. And
what's it about? What are they protesting?
They're protesting the president, Juan Orlando. Everyone just hates him.
Okay.
And anyways, what I was thinking is that it'd be really easy to like start a revolution there.
Well, why would you say it's easy to do that? I mean, it's never easy.
Literally,
to...
there's so much political instability there that literally just anybody who can promise something, they'll listen to it. How do you think he got into power in the first place? He promised stuff.
How long's he been in power down there?
He's been in there for 4 years, and it's constantly renewable.
It might be easy to start a revolution, but it probably isn't safe because if it's really that bad there, and I've heard a lot of the stories about how bad it is, and it's very bad, and there's violence coming from all directions.
That's why people walked out of there to get the heck out and you know, walk through Mexico, because it's that bad, and it's easier to just leave than it is to fight an established military presence.
Especially if you don't have guns to fight back with.
Yeah, I imagine you can't own guns privately in Honduras, can you?
I don't know.
I think you can.
In most Latin American countries, it's against the law to own guns.
That doesn't stop the cartels.
So tell me about you, Fat Knight. You were born down there, but did they get you? You know, how long have you been out of there?
Oh, I've been out of there since I was like 3.
Okay. All right. So you don't have
now.
Have you been back to visit family?
Yeah, I go
down
every summer.
And what's it like? I mean, when you're there?
Well, it's pretty bad. It's really hot. There's a bunch of mosquitoes. I'm scared I'm going to get Zika all the time or Ebola or something like that.
But like, you know, mosquitoes are everywhere. Yeah. So like, what is it that, you know,
I don't think they're fleeing mosquitoes.
Right. I mean, what is it when you're in the streets, is there, is there military, Mexico,
tons of military.
Yeah. Lots of military.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, as far as starting a revolution is concerned, and I thank you for the call tonight, Fat Knight. I appreciate hearing from you. As far as revolutions are concerned, it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. right? I mean, a lot of people can fantasize about starting a revolution, but
it's very dangerous.
The person who starts the revolution probably ain't going to survive the revolution.
Yeah.
There's more coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And would like to invite you to check out Smart Cash. Smart Cash is, of course, a cryptocurrency. It's peer-to-peer. It's digital currency. It's fast, secure. It's easy to use. But of course, most of them can claim that. What is it that makes Smart Cash different? Well, it seems like there's a lot of libertarians behind Smart Cash, which I think is one reason why it makes it pretty cool, because liberty-minded folks tend to know more about economics than a lot of other folks out there. So it's good to have people who know a thing or two about economics running a currency. But beyond that, they've got some cool features built into Smart Cash, like the Smart Hive Project Treasury, where the rewards from the blocks that are mined in Smart Cash, some of those rewards are added to this treasury, and then people can make proposals to the treasury, say, oh, well, I want to do X with the money that, is here. And so one of those proposals was made by Free Talk Live last month, and to propose that they advertise with Free Talk Live, and a good chunk of the folks over at Smart Cash voted for us. With Smart Cash, everybody who has Smart has a vote. If you've got one Smart, you have one vote. If you've got more than one Smart, you've got more than one vote. So that allows everybody to participate, unlike some of the other voting systems on some of the other cryptos, where you have to have a bunch of that crypto in order to participate. With Smart Cash, anybody can. And there's Smart Rewards, which actually reward you for holding on to Smart Cash. Long-term holding are key to the project's success, so they want to encourage that behavior by allowing anyone who has at least 1,000 Smart, which that's not a lot of money right now. You can get 1,000 Smart for under $20. So if you've got at least 1,000 Smart, you're holding on to that in a wallet that you control the keys for, and you hold it for at least a month's time frame, and you don't make any outgoing transactions from that 1,000 or from that wallet, period, no matter what the amount is, as long as it's over 1,000, you'll get Smart Rewards every single month for as long as you don't spend from that wallet. You can take more Smart in. You can add Smart to the wallet, but you can't spend out of the wallet. If you do, you won't get you can spend from it, but you just won't get the Smart Rewards when those are distributed. So go to learn more at smartcash.cc. That's smartcash.cc. As we continue, Ian, Michael, and Laurel in the studio tonight. We were sharing with you a story about Maduro and the conflict with the uprising down in Venezuela. Things are maybe they're coming to a head. Michael, you're predicting that something's going to snap within the next week.
I think one of Maduro's military generals is going to put a bullet in his head.
Oh, you think it's going to be that extreme? All right. Well, we'll see. That's a big prediction.
Are you taking bets on what day?
Yeah, I was going to say.
You have like a spreadsheet and everybody can put their money on what day?
Maduro death pool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How does he die and when does he die?
Yeah, that's... Assassination politics. So,
because it's only going to end in a few ways, right? He's either going to get killed, or he's going to get run out on a rail, right? It's one of two. Because he's not going to stay in forever. He's going to be gone at some point.
The Russians are not going to put that much effort into propping him up. He's not that important.
Yeah, that's true. Let's continue with Free Market Penguin on our Discord on-air call-in line room. Go ahead, Colin from Virginia.
Yes, I am. I wanted to call about Venezuela and the socialism issue. Earlier, I know Michael said that like North Korea and some other country was the best at or the most successful at achieving communism. And I wouldn't even call that communism. Really, so we have to go back to the definition of socialism, which basically can control the means of production in theory. And in fact, you know, the state controls the means of the production. And yeah, okay, it could be on behalf of the workers because of whatever Marx said. But guess what? It's always an authoritarian regime who controls the industry, the means of production.
Right.
So that leads me to a really, really good – one of the top posts I've seen on Discord since I've been using it. I was in a more left-leaning anarchist space, and someone was pointing out that – and I don't mean to apologize – you know, the negative effects of socialism in this case. But when you look at it, you know, it's almost a fallacy when it comes to looking at authoritarian regimes to really kind of divide them between right and left, because it's so often the case that these authoritarian regimes, and from a libertarian perspective, I would say these authoritarian and highly centrally planned authoritarian regimes and highly centrally planned economies, but these authoritarian regimes, whether they're supposedly, you know, a fascist or they're a socialist, they really all have, in the end result, a lot of the same policies. Sure. And
so this is called the horseshoe theory, which is the further left you go and the further right you go,
the closer you get.
Closer together you get.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's
one.
Not just left and right, though. It's and it is a version of the horseshoe theory, mm-hmm. but that. It's also a distinction between freer and more authoritarian regimes, where if you really look at it, they have a lot of the same goals and methods of control. You know, you look at the Cold War, for example, the communism versus capitalism, supposedly. But if the Soviet Union was a fascist country, they'd still be spreading their ideology and putting their military advisors everywhere, installing yep. regimes and aiming, and the U.S. and them would be aiming missiles at each other. It would have happened the same way. Or if the Nazis had been communists, I mean, honestly, they would have still, you know, they would have still been death camps probably. And, you know, it's the sure. flavors are different. The rhetoric's
different. The communists
different,
had gulags.
They're remarkably
you know?
Similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The communists had re-education camps, gulags, and they weren't any fun either.
And now they're coming back. Yeah. So,
well, right. China has re-education
they
camps.
They kind
now.
Of veered off toward fascism, and now they're kind of veering back toward communism. So
my theory on why these communist countries always end up being really violent in a lot of ways is that the more centralized the government is and the more power the government has, the more bitter the fight for control becomes, because mm-hmm. the more important it is who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are in charge, because it's become a bitter fight, have to employ violence to keep people down. So this is just generally a problem with too much government power and too much over-centralization.
Penguin? Yeah, and it's a great way to perspective look at it from a libertarian perspective, because mm-hmm. of course we opposed authoritarianism and central planning. We don't think central planning. We think free market economics are the key. And so right. this helps us to kind of put aside the right left differences, and to some extent, when looking at this and realizing that it's purely a fight for freedom, not that those things don't exist in some form or another.
Well, right. And you typically see the claims of these so-called freedom fighters. Yeah, they want freedom, but what they really want is freedom from control of the person who's in charge. They don't actually want freedom for other people, because then they institute their own regime, they mm-hmm. institute their own government, and maybe it won't be as bad as the previous one, or maybe it'll be worse. It's like I was saying, the devil we know when it comes to Venezuela, we know how bad Maduro is, but we don't know really much of anything about how this other guy is going to run the country, you know, supposedly. And of course, we know governments don't actually run the country, but they do ruin the ability to have any kind of freedom and create an economy and a marketplace and all that. Penguin, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate the thoughts. The toll-free number here, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. We can talk more about what's going on in Venezuela, the latest on that, plus GMO foods and science. There's an interesting study about the people who are I think it's what was the people who are against GMOs, right?
We are actually going to get to this article after we get back from the break.
That's the plan. I don't know if it's going to be right away, but it's Free Talk Live.
You want to know the 37 items you must have to survive a crisis? Then I've got some good news for you. Former CIA officer and New York Times best-selling author Jason Hansen is now giving listeners a free copy of his book, The Escape Bag Blueprint, 37 Items You Must Have to Survive a Crisis. You can claim your copy at freeescapebook.com. Don't delay. Jason reveals the guns, knives, flashlights, and water filters that could save your life in an economic collapse or grid-down event. Get your free book today, freeescapebook.com. freeescapebook.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in here toll free and join this live Sunday edition of the show with you in studio. It's Ian,
Michael,
Laurel.
And of course, we're inviting you to our website over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that we have there. They're completely free. We do have an email list you can sign up to receive email updates, usually once a week, about Free Talk Live and what's going on with the show, the latest news about Free Talk Live, and also information about LRN.fm. So this week, we announced three new shows on our podcast lineup on LRN, and that information went out in an email. So if you want to, you can follow our Twitter and Mastodon and social media and such as well. But the email is a nice way to get a summary of all the things that have that I consider to be important that happened in the last week. So go and sign up for their email list right there on the front page over at freetalklive.com. It's kind of the sign up box. You'll see it. It's pretty obvious there toward the front and the top of the website at freetalklive.com. As we continue here, of course, we'll take your calls and thoughts about anything you want to discuss. We've been discussing the situation in Venezuela that continues to develop. You've got Maduro now, the current so-called president in Venezuela, claiming he's got a second term in office. For those of you who may be just tuning in or have not followed this situation, there's another man, Juan Guaido, who has also claimed that he is the president. He's backed by the National Assembly, which is controlled by the opposition to Maduro. Maduro is backed by his own Maduro-stacked Supreme Court. So you've got two men saying they are the president of this country. You now have other countries from around the world, other governments weighing in, taking one side or the other. And it's been a very interesting and, of course, horrifying situation in many ways, because while these people are fighting over control over the government, the people of Venezuela are having a tough time getting a hold of some of the most basic food items as well as basic medicines. It's just a dismal situation to be living down there. So we're giving you an update here from Reuters on what's been happening. They cite Maduro doing a show of force, basically, rolling out Russian military equipment, anti-aircraft, flak, and tank rounds, pounding a hillside to show military force. He said, according to the slogan, this show of force was accompanied by a government publicity campaign based on the slogan, "Always loyal, never a traitor," and followed by a high-profile defection by the country's top military diplomat in the United States yesterday. The fort of Paramaque, about 2 hours west of Caracas, was itself the site of an uprising in 2017, when at the time about 20 soldiers and armed civilians attacked the base. The leader of the attack, which was quickly subdued, said he was calling for a transitional government. Maduro on Sunday denounced an alleged conspiracy aimed at spreading rebellion in the army, saying thousands of messages were being sent to soldiers every day over WhatsApp and other social media platforms from neighboring Colombia. He later jogged with his soldiers and visited a Navy base. Guaido, that's the competitor, also sent a message to the military on Sunday, asking for support and ordering it to not repress civilians during an event in which supporters handed out copies of a proposed amnesty for people accused of crimes in the Maduro government. This from Guaido. He says, "I order you not to shoot. I order you not to repress the people." At a UN Security Council debate, Russia and China strongly backed Maduro and rejected calls by the US, Canada, and Latin American nations and European powers for early elections. Both Russia and China are major creditors of Venezuela, which, you know, you're insane if you're going to actually give Venezuela any money, because they're not going to pay you back. They can't even...
Russia and China have been creditors for Venezuela for quite a long time. Yeah. So maybe they're supporting Maduro because they hope they'll get something out of it.
Since the government of Maduro's late mentor, Hugo Chavez, the OPEC nation has invested heavily in Russian weaponry, including Sukhoi fighter jets and heavy armor. The strategic alliance was in evidence last year when two Russian nuclear-capable bombers landed in Venezuela. Reuters reported Friday that private military contractors who do secret missions for Russia had flown into Venezuela to beef up security for Maduro. In an interview that aired Sunday, Maduro rejected the European ultimatum to call elections within 8 days and said Guaido violated the Constitution by declaring himself the interim leader. He told CNN Turk, quote, "Fortunately, we don't depend on Europe and those arrogant, overbearing attitudes looking down on us because we are sudacas, inferior to them," he said. Further, he said, quote, "The leaders of Europe are sycophants, kneeling behind the policies of Donald Trump," adding that he was open to dialogue and that meeting Trump was improbable, but not impossible. Well.
Is he suggesting that the leaders of Europe do whatever Trump wants?
That's what he said. Yeah. It's all a Trump conspiracy.
I'm sure the leaders of Europe might have something to say about that.
Sure.
Did he really talk to CNN Turkey?
Turk, yeah.
Yeah, Turkey's one of the countries that's supporting Maduro.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that would be why he spoke to them, I suppose. But it's interesting here that he is saying that he would be willing possibly to meet with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, that'll never happen.
Well, I mean...
Trump? He met with the leader of North Korea.
Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If he met with Kim Jong-un and Maduro is saying he's willing to possibly meet with Trump, that's an opening, right? Like, that's a potential crack for Trump to come in and work his magic, whatever it is that he does.
The thing about Kim Jong-un is everyone said he was crazy, but he's not. He's just what he is.
Well, he inherited Maduro, a mess.
Yeah, he inherited a mess, and he's trying to clean it up.
Maybe.
Maybe. A little. Sort of.
He seems to have some kind of sense in his head.
Yeah, but he's not... Yeah, sure, he's a dictator, and he's a terrible dictator, right. But he's not
murdered
crazy.
His own uncle. Well, he did murder his own uncle with, like, rabid dogs and...
That doesn't necessarily mean he's crazy.
just a psychopath.
Maduro is not... Yeah, just a psychopath, not crazy.
So you're saying Maduro is crazy?
At this point, yeah, he's...
He's definitely not well-educated. I mean, he's certainly... I don't know. He was a bus driver, right? Like, I'm not saying bad things about bus drivers here,
but are you crazy just because you do bad things? No. Is that what makes you crazy?
I might not be putting this quite the way I want to. Maduro's not quite the same sort of psychopath that Kim Jong-un is. Kim Jong-un is, he knows that North Korea is going to fail. Uh-huh.
It has failed,
yeah. And he's got to do something. Maduro has not reached that point.
He went through,
and may
right?
never.
No, so, I mean, Kim Jong-un was alive in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. You know, so
he saw the whole thing
growing
up.
Yeah.
So Maduro's actions are going to lead to a swift end one way or another, whereas what Kim Jong-un is doing will not.
There's not even time for Maduro to set up a theoretical meeting with Trump.
Uh-huh.
One way or another.
You are predicting he will be ousted or killed within the next week. So, I mean, we'll see.
I don't think he'll last much longer.
But I have to say, you know, Trump has done some amazing work. Like, to me, the Trump meeting with Kim Jong-un has been his best moment so far.
That was his best moment. Let's give him Obama's Nobel Peace Prize for that one.
Yeah, for sure. So Washington urged the world on Saturday to, quote, pick a side on Venezuela and financially disconnect from Maduro's government. Bolton, the White House National Security Advisor, warned Sunday against violence or the intimidation of American diplomats in Venezuela, or Guaido saying such action would trigger a response from the United States. And then they kind of get into a little bit of a summary of which nations like Britain, Germany, France, and Spain recently all said they would recognize Guaido if Maduro failed to call new elections within 8 days. And Maduro is now saying he's not going to do that.
Eight days in this article is what, 2 days old or 1 day old?
I think this is yesterday. Or no, this is today.
Okay. Well,
yeah, this is today.
I'll give him 8 days rather than a week.
All right. So there's your Venezuela update. And yes, you're right, Michael. It does say here the Turkish president Erdogan has voiced his support for Maduro in a phone call on Thursday.
I think it's pronounced Erdogan.
Erdogan? Okay. Yeah. Doesn't look like it. I don't know where they got the W from.
It doesn't, but it's Turkish.
Know. Yeah, I don't know how to speak Turkey. Turk. All right, so the toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, genetically modified organisms. Study shows that you're going to tell us about here, Laurel. Uh-huh. Apparently that the people who are vehemently against GMOs may not be so educated on food science.
Right.
So we'll tell you about that and where that's coming from, and you can share your thoughts if you're interested in GMOs, if you're against them, if you're a fan. You're welcome to weigh in. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the show, and you can dial in here. The toll-free number, it's 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. They're open and available to you over at discord.lrn.fm. Maybe you're not familiar with Discord. I got to say, I wasn't up until about a year ago when we started using Discord for our chat service here. We've had a chat room with Free Talk Live and the Liberty Radio Network for quite a long time. What it was, though, was an old school IRC style chat room, which stands for Internet Relay Chat. It's old school. Like, IRC goes way back to like the beginnings of the internet, basically.
Yeah, we were using that in the 80s.
Yeah, back when they didn't have web browsers with images and, you know, the stuff we're used to today. So it was a pretty old school style chat. And it worked for a time, but Discord is just much more modern. It's much nicer, much easier to use. It's friendly for uploading photos and, you know, sharing files and things like that. And there's different rooms in which you can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners. The top room, I would say, the number one room is the On Air Now room, and that's the default one that you'll be plopped into when you join the server. But there's several others. There's a gaming room. There's cryptocurrency discussion. There's one about New Hampshire and some of the cool stuff going on here. And then there's actually voice chat rooms. So there's text chat. That's the primary reason to use Discord. But there's also voice chat rooms. So sometimes after the show's over, sometimes some of our listeners will join each other in the voice chat, one of the voice chat rooms, and they'll just have a chat with each other for sometimes a few hours after the show.
So they'll go all night sometimes.
Sometimes. It doesn't happen very often, but you know, it does happen. And it's very interesting. It's fun to kind of listen to that. It's fun to interact with it. And it's free to do it. So, you know, you want to interact with other Free Talk Live listeners and some of the hosts. I think all three of our hosts on tonight, Laurel, you've got an account on the Discord.
I do.
And I'm logged into Discord right now.
Your name on there is Error.
Error 10.
Yep. So check them out and check us out over there where I'm in there every single day over at discord.lrn.fm. And yes, you can download the Discord app, but no, you don't have to because there's also a web version that you can just run in your web browser. discord.lrn.fm. As we go to Laurel and your story, you've got something about these genetically modified foods and a study that was done on the people who are anti-GMO.
Exactly. Yes. Okay, so this was in NPR, and the title is People Strongly Against GMOs Had Shakier Understanding of Food Science Study Finds. So down here, it says in this article, people who most intensely oppose genetically modified food think they know a lot about food science, but they actually know the least, according to a peer-reviewed paper published in January in the journal Nature Human Behavior. GMOs are widely considered safe by scientists, but opponents have said they want more science on the potential harm so that subjective arguments aren't part of the equation. However, previous surveys have shown that providing more scientific facts about GMOs to people doesn't change their minds. Now, before we go further along in this article, I'd like to say that I don't think you can presume that everybody who is very much opposed to GMOs is automatically not knowledgeable about what they are. So even if they found that a lot of the people weren't,
sure.
I happen to know a number of people who are against them who are very,
very
knowledgeable, whom I respect. I respect their scientific knowledge. So I will continue on. The survey conducted by four universities asked 2,000 people in Europe and the United States how much they know about genetically modified food, what their opinion was, and how intense it was. Then it went on to ask a series of true or false questions about science, not just food science,
okay,
ranging from basic issues like whether the core of the earth is hot or cold to questions on genetics, like does a non-genetically modified tomato have genes?
If you're playing along at home, the answers are hot and yes.
The results showed the more strongly people reported being opposed to GMOs, the lower their test score.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are upset by genetically modified food, said Sydney Scott, a marketing professor at Washington University in St. Louis, one of the schools that ran the study. Also, I want to add here, going away from the story again for a minute, most of the foods we eat are, in a way, genetically modified. We have been
modifying foods for millennia.
Exactly. Plants.
Back in the day, it was called selective breeding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even now, the watermelons don't look the same as when I was a girl. They look very different now. There aren't as many seeds. They have a lot more of those smaller ones. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is not done in a lab. Some of it is.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is simply selective breeding, if you will, of the plants.
Right. Just like how people bred dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So to continue on.
I do like a good watermelon.
Yeah. I like them without the seeds.
It's a nice thing to have.
We have to get people to recognize gaps in their knowledge before we try to teach them new things and have a meaningful discussion, she added. Opponents of genetically modified food are not putting much stock in the study. The real flawed science is that the Food and Drug Administration is not rigorously testing genetically modified food, said Alexis Bodenmeyer, political director for the Anti-GMO Organic Consumers Association.
What do they want? I mean, exactly what kind of testing do you want? I mean, because ultimately the fear is that genetically modified foods are going to have some sort of long-term damage.
Right.
Right. Obviously, you can sit there and eat as much GMO food as you want. You're just going to get full in the short term. But the fear is that it's Frankenfood and that it's going to somehow, you know, do something damaging to you. What that is, I don't know. I have not researched either side of this because I personally, to me, the way I see the GMO situation is the reason why they genetically modify these things in a lot of cases is to make them hardier crops, to make it so they're more likely to survive, let's say, a drought, or more likely to survive insects or whatever, to make it so they make it to the table so people can actually eat the food. And in a situation where you've got people in not just Venezuela, but in African countries and other places around the world where they don't have a whole lot of food that they have access to, having more effective ways to farm, food that is more readily available, food that is cheaper, is a way to put food into people's mouths who otherwise don't have it. And to me, I'm pretty sure the people who are hungry don't really care what the method of farming was that got them, you know, the orange or the apple or whatever it is that they're enjoying. They're just happy to have something that can provide some sustenance.
Yeah. My feeling on this is it doesn't need to be a battle. I believe in full disclosure.
Sure,
you know, the GMOs have a little label on it that says GMO. Mm-hmm. So people who don't want to buy it, don't buy it. And the people who want to buy it, buy it.
Sure.
It's that simple. Just let the market decide.
You're starting to see labels on food now.
Is it the market that's causing that, or is it a government mandate?
Sure, I suspect it was actually a government mandate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's what I have to oppose just on principle, because while I support labeling, I don't support it being done on a mandatory basis. If that's what people want, that's what the market's going to provide them. If people are telling their grocer, hey, I want to know what is in this. I want to know whether this crop is GMO or whether this crop isn't. And I want you to tell me as a customer, or I'm going to go to the store across town. That would get the job done if indeed people really care about it. But I don't know how many people really care about it.
I know a fair number of people who really care about it.
Well, they're loud about it.
Yeah,
but I mean, how many of the average, you know, out of 1,000 people in a random phone survey, how many of them are aware of GMO? How many of them are concerned with it?
I think
I don't know.
When people are going to the Whole Foods market, those are the type of people who are more likely to care about it. Mm-hmm. And those stores are doing very well.
They sure are. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I would say that a number of people care about it. Okay, so going on with the article, she said her organization wants to see a thorough scientific review of genetically modified food using up-to-date testing practices. Scott said Baden-Meyer has a point and reinforced that the study was about the correlation of scientific knowledge and consumer behavior, not just the science of GMOs. But she said consumers often are less likely to learn the facts when it's something they feel very passionate about,
right,
especially if they feel like it's challenging their moral values.
And if the if the facts challenge your beliefs, mm-hmm, then it's shutdown time.
Yeah, you're going to discount those facts because I'm not listening.
Right.
Well, sometimes for studies, I think that in order to determine the validity of the study, one of the things you have to look at, not only the methods and who's doing it, but also what was the motivation for doing the study?
Who funded it?
I don't know who funded it. I might look that up.
Somebody in the chat room joked that it was Monsanto, but that's not, that wasn't true. They were just
joking. Information.
Yeah.
But if the one possible motivation for doing the study is, look, it doesn't matter what kind of facts we give. It doesn't change people's minds. And doesn't that say we don't need to do any more studies on whether these foods are safe because the people don't care anyway? And it then sort of supports their argument that they don't need any more studies on these. Mm-hmm. And that's a possible motivation for doing this study. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All right. So going on, it says, so people might feel extremely about genetically modified food because it's very unnatural in a way they find almost morally upsetting. And I would go for that.
We can continue here. If there's more, you are welcome to join us as well. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And also on the way, we can talk about green cards, the fear of them being denied. We'll explain why on the way in hour number three. This is Free Talk Live. Live Sunday.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor, Mark Warden.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Take control of the airwaves here. Hour number three is what we're kicking off right now. With you in the studio, it's Ian.
Michael.
Laurel.
Open phones as always. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, people afraid to get some help for their kids because they're afraid they're going to lose out on a green card. Michael's got the story on that. But we've been talking about GMOs, genetically modified organisms, mm-hmm, and people's opinions on GMOs. Turns out, according to a recent study, done by, was it four colleges, I think, that were working together on this? They talked to 2,000-plus people that were participating in the study about their opinions, mm-hmm, on a variety of things, but including GMO, genetically modified foods, and found out that the people who were the most against, the strongest, that felt the strongest against GMO were actually the least scientifically knowledgeable. And that included, like, the most basic of science. Like,
that's what the study found.
Yeah.
Just a couple more paragraphs in this. Researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder, the University of Toronto, and the University of Pennsylvania also participated in the study, which was primarily paid for by grants from the National Science Foundation. We were asking earlier who paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
They plan to follow up with more studies on how the findings may play into other controversial science issues, including vaccinations, nuclear power, and homeopathic medicine. So here are a couple more of my concerns. I already raised a few in there. And one of them is some of the things that Eric Weinstein brought up. I don't know if you're familiar with Eric Weinstein. He's the person who coined the term IDW, intellectual dark web. He is a financial advisor for Peter Thiel, and he comments on a lot of social issues. So one of the things he says, he was talking about fake news, and he was saying there's various types of fake news, but the most dangerous fake news is institutional fake news. He says
that which comes from a college or something
like that. Exactly, from universities, that there has been a decline in the, when they're not biased. There's been they're getting more and more biased in a lot of these studies, and there's been less and less peer review. There's been more pressure to publish, and now things are being published before they've been properly vetted.
We read
less impartial.
Yeah, there you go, impartial.
Yeah, yeah. We read a story not long ago about these scientific journals, these so-called peer-reviewed scientific journals, and how much of a scam that some of these things are.
What good is peer review if all your peers agree with what you're saying?
Right, and you know they will in advance. And also, it used to be that when an article was published, when a study was published, it wasn't accepted until other studies got the same results.
Right, that's...
But nowadays, they accept it right away before other studies have had a chance to occur. And part of this is the media publishing stories exactly like this before other studies have repeated the findings. So
now,
we have
to
take
be fair,
all this.
This isn't a surprise. I mean, the findings here, I would say, are largely predictable, if indeed they're true, because I believe...
They're not terribly surprising.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the people who are into GMOs are the conspiracy crowd. I mean, there are people who want to find... You know, there's a black helicopter under every rock, and they're all after them. And everything in the world is some sort of conspiracy by the Bilderbergers or whoever.
Now, to be fair, there are people out there who oppose GMOs who, like you were saying, Laurel...
Right.
Actually know what's going on, are very well informed.
Right.
But we don't see those people. We see the Alex Jones listeners.
Right. The people who believe in chemtrails at the same time.
I guess we don't walk in the same circles, because I know a fair number of people who are against GMOs who know a lot about science. And my brother-in-law is against these, and he has a PhD
in chemistry.
Well, I don't
walk in these circles. I'm just going by what I hear on the radio.
Well, the radio, maybe that isn't the best.
I'm ever
people on the radio are just crazy.
In real life, I don't talk to people who are into GMO or or against GMO. It's like not even an issue that comes up. At all.
I hardly ever see it even like on Facebook.
I bet you if you went down to the farmer's market, you could probably find a bunch of people who are against GMOs. So it probably does have to do with who you know, spend time with.
But I think it's really unfortunate that I see a scientific study published by major universities. I just don't feel like I can trust it the way I used to.
Yeah. You have to be sure. And these days, you can't trust what the universities are publishing, even when they're not funded by whoever you ideologically disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this is a problem that is afflicting a variety of different people these days, is how to decide what is true. How to determine, to discern, you know, a true statement from something that has been completely fabricated, or a partially true statement, you know, from something that is completely true. And it's no easy thing. We had somebody calling in and asking about this recently, and it's like, the best you can do is try to get different viewpoints from different sources and then just come to some sort of conclusion, because ultimately, you know, on anything that happens, unless you're there and unless you know what's going on, unless you're in possession of the facts from personal experience, you always have to trust somebody. You always have to choose somebody. That's why I make the disclaimer that when we're talking about Venezuela, we're just going on what's being reported. We don't actually know what's happening in Venezuela. We don't know how bad the food situation is. We know what we've read. And
we haven't seen it ourselves.
Yeah. We've seen photos, but that doesn't necessarily reflect reality in some cases.
I've seen some videos, but it's like we're not there.
Right. There's obviously a narrative on one side, and there's a narrative on the other, and there's the truth somewhere out there, but it may not be completely on one side or the other. So what does it actually look like? These are some of the things that we've tried to discern over the years, talking about Venezuela. Now, over all the times we've talked about Venezuela, we've never had somebody call in to say, it's actually plenty of food around here in Venezuela.
Yeah,
Nuh-uh.
Nobody said that.
That's said by no one ever.
Well, Maduro would be like, look at
this. That's because Maduro has all the food.
Right.
So, plenty of food at my house.
So, it's just you have to make a determination of who to believe.
It's critical thinking, and that's something that that doesn't get taught a lot anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess what I would do with this study is include it as more information, but maybe not the final say, because there could be another study coming along.
Well, the people that did the study kind of halfway made that disclaimer, too.
Sure, and this is just about the believers, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have anything. As I think somebody in our chat room pointed this out. It has absolutely no bearing on whether or not GMO is or is not a safe or is not, you know, safe or whatever.
That's true.
It just has to do with the type of people. Essentially, they're attacking the side. They're attacking right. the side they're against. And okay,
right.
It's interesting.
And you can be unknowledgeable and still be right.
You can. Yeah. That's true. And I'm not saying they're wrong or they're right. Honestly, I don't have enough information on this situation to make a decision, but I also don't care enough to spend my time gathering information about it because I don't, you know, I don't fret over whether or not I'm going to die from eating genetically modified organisms. There's a lot of other threats to our livelihood out there, and I don't. You know, that's not one of them.
Let's presume for the moment that the study is absolutely correct and that people are taking a position based on, even though they don't have knowledge of mm-hmm. what's really going on. I think that we see that in a number of other issues, like gun control. A lot of people who are in favor of gun control really don't know that much about guns.
Right. It's based on their feelings.
Exactly. And I have to say, I was in that group.
Irrational fears.
You used to be a gun control person?
Yes. And I think what finally got me to change my mind was I was saying, yeah, we should get rid of these semi-automatic rifles. And then a friend of mine said, do you know what semi-automatic means?
And you said, nope.
I said, no. And he says, did you know that pretty much all of the guns on the market are semi-automatic? Yeah. And I said, no. Oh.
Whoops.
So he made me realize very politely, but he wasn't in my face. He was just asking me very polite questions like, do you know about this? And mm-hmm. then I had to concede that I didn't know. So yeah, speaking from experience, I've been one of those people who took a mm-hmm. position on something without really, and it's not something that I usually do. I usually try to know more about the subject matter, but on that one, I went with emotions instead of information. So.
And that's good that he asked you questions rather than just making a bunch of statements. That's always a good way to get somebody to possibly see the error in their ways. Where did you grow up?
New Jersey.
Jersey. Okay. So not
well, you're
a real
not going to persuade somebody by yelling at them or screaming at them in their face or accusing them of being the devil incarnate.
And Jersey is one of the least gun-friendly places, so it's not a surprise you probably grew up with a bunch of anti-gun people, I would guess, right?
I suppose. We didn't really talk about it much. It didn't come up.
There's more on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever you want. How do you discern the truth? It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want right here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms, and we're going to get to somebody who's waiting patiently there. But first, we continue here in the studio. Want to let you know about Bitcoin.com. It's your premier source for everything Bitcoin related. They can help you choose Bitcoin wallets, buy Bitcoin, and show you where you can spend Bitcoin. You can read the latest news. You can engage with the community on their Bitcoin forum. And if you're brand new to cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, you can go through their Bitcoin Academy. Bitcoin.com is where you can go. And a lot of that stuff, by the way, is free. That's Bitcoin.com. It's Ian, Michael, and Laurel in the studio tonight. We've been talking about genetically modified foods and not so much the science or lack thereof, but the people's opinions on the issue and their lack of knowledge, according to one scientific study published by four different universities where they were involved in it. And you are welcome to weigh in here. So let's go to the phones, to the phone. We got Nate on the line in Virginia listening to WNIS. Hello, Nate.
Hey, everybody.
Hey there.
Yeah, I think that study is pretty much a smear campaign against people who
it may not be false, but it's definitely a smear campaign.
That's why I said why did they do the study? Was it just to disparage these people?
Pretty clear.
Or get them to stop talking?
But Ian, you made a statement that you weren't pretty informed about some of the concerns about these this technology, and a lot of the independent studies have found, and I think it was even a French court ruled in favor of one of these scientists, that these GMOs, they lead to infertility and cancer. And
how can you really prove that, you know, how did they prove that they lead to those things? Because usually correlation is not causation.
Well, the industry tests that were from sponsored by proponents of the industry, they ran the tests that they ran were short lived, and the problems started to arise shortly after they ended their studies. People who conducted the studies further along, that's when they started finding out these problems of infertility and cancer. But just think about it. Just a little common sense here.
You know, Nate,
they're putting they're weaving into these seeds and whatnot chemicals that cause the guts of these insects to explode. So and they're finding the same thing in people.
It's interesting.
The
leaky
gut syndrome and all that stuff. You know, I mean, it's just common sense.
Nate, it's interesting you bring that up, the birth rate, because I just read something last week that the birth rate in the U.S. has actually fallen below replacement rate.
Exactly.
But is that because of infertility or simply because women are choosing not to have as many children?
That's the question.
No,
why is it happening?
I think it's a combination of things. It's absolutely a combination of all the toxic things that's been released into the environment. And the food supply and whatnot. And, I mean, look at 93% of the people in this country, a study came out, have glyphosate in their blood now, folks. I mean, this is crazy.
I don't know what that is.
So it's going to have a cumulative effect. Hmm. And this is the end game of the globalist, by the way. It's depopulation. So, anyway,
well,
that's what I think about it.
Yeah, so you got to be real careful when you're looking at some of this stuff. And, of course, there's always going to be another side to it. I'm not saying I'm taking one side or another, but a quick quick Google for GMO debunk, you know, comes up with a popular science article. Now,
yeah, on the Google system that's being manipulated.
See, it's always something,
really,
right? It's always something
now
with these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done been caught manipulating the algorithm and everything. So, okay.
Well, that has nothing to do with an algorithm. It has nothing to do with an algorithm. I was looking for an article debunking GMO. The haters basically of GMO, and it's not hard to find this stuff here. Here's one for you. This is claim number 5: GMOs cause allergies, cancer, and other health problems. Many people worry that genetic engineering introduces hazardous proteins, particularly allergens and toxins, into the food chain, and it's a reasonable concern. Theoretically, it's possible for a new gene to express a protein that provokes an immune response. That's why biotech companies consult with the Food and Drug Administration about potential GMO foods and perform extensive allergy and toxicity testing. These tests
like
are voluntary.
The FDA.
No, you can't trust the FDA. I agree with you.
I'll tell you this, though. When I am having very nutritious organic food, not GMO, but I'm also being careful in the food about the food in a lot of other respects as well, avoiding wheat, etc., my health is much, much better. Now, I don't know what it is exactly, but I know that when I'm eating very, very healthily and I'm having natural foods and organic foods, I feel better and I am in better health. But when I'm having just whatever at the grocery store because I'm not paying attention to it, it's not like I'm dying. So I will say it does make you healthier to have the organic foods and to be very careful about what you're eating. But I don't know just how
just
dangerous
from your own
it
personal
is.
Experience, it's from, right?
That's true.
That's your own case study, which isn't scientifically admissible, of course,
right.
But it's interesting.
Right.
The rest of the paragraph here, one frequently cited study published in 2012 by researchers from the University of Caen in France claimed that one of Monsanto's corn GMOs caused tumors in lab rats. But the study was quickly discredited because of faulty test methods, and the journal even retracted it in 2013. More recently, researchers from the University of Perugia in Italy published a review of 1,783 GMO safety tests. 770 of those tests examined the health impact on humans or animals, and they found no evidence that the foods are dangerous. So, you know, you come out with a study, Nate, that says that, you know, insects had a problem with these foods, and then you claim that the same thing would happen with humans, but yet there have been hundreds of studies that have said, you know, these foods are completely safe. What's the truth? Honestly, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy one side or the other necessarily. Nate, anything else you want to share? Go ahead.
Well, pretty much they've admitted basically that their studies have been questionable. And the bigger wide-ranging study that's being conducted right now is on me and you, and they're just basically it's like a crapshoot. They don't care what the results are, whether it's true or whether it's not. They don't care.
Thank you for the call tonight, Nate.
I
appreciate hearing from you. Oh, there's no doubt. But number six here is the claim that all research on GMOs has been funded by Big Ag. The idea that, well, I mean, obviously Monsanto's behind all of these studies that promote GMO, right? Mm-hmm. That's an easy conspiracy to fall into. And it says here that simply isn't true. Over the past decade, hundreds of independent researchers have published peer-reviewed safety studies, at least a dozen medical and scientific groups worldwide, including the World Health Organization and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, have stated that the GMOs currently approved for the market are safe. Now, whether that's true or not is another question, but there's always competing studies out there. There's always – you want to find some studies that back up your viewpoint?
I eat them sometimes.
There's more coming up here in moments. You probably eat them without even knowing it.
Probably.
In a lot of cases. 855-450. Free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. It is Free Talk Live, and you dial toll-free if you want to join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. We're going to go to one of those here in just a moment. Discord.lrn.fm allows you to get in there. And when you're in the Discord rooms, you'll sound way better than you would sound if you called us on the phones. We'll still take your calls, though, on the phones. 855-450-FREE. Also, again, discord.lrn.fm. Thank you to Steve, who's a Free Talk Live Gold Amplifier. Steve gives $10 per month to Free Talk Live to help us amp the show. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And you can go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about the AMP program. It's a way for you to support this show directly to where we can use that money. And now Steve does 10, but we only ask for 5. So the typical donation is 5. But the $5 or whatever it is that you contribute, we're throwing it in together with the other contributors. And then we are using that to buy advertisements in Talkers Magazine, which does a weekly or actually a daily industry publication to, you know, the program directors and industry decision makers read. So they see Free Talk Live advertising in there. Of course, Talkers has named us the 27th most important talk show, most influential, important talk show.
The show has gone up in the rankings every year
after year.
And that was before I got on. So it's got to be really high now.
We'll see what we get here in 2019.
That's coming up in, what, a month or so?
They've been pushing it back year after year. It used to be February, and then it kind of like went to March, then it went to... So it seems to be like May now when they finally come out with that,
list.
Yeah. But you know what? Hey, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right.
They're going to come out with it when they come out with it. So if you want to help us out, one of the other things the AMP money does is it actually sends us to the industry convention every year that Talkers puts on in New York City, so we can, you know, go and actually schmooze it up with the big wigs in the business. And
when is that?
It's usually like the first week in June. It's usually just a one-day event. So Mark and I will go up the day before. We'll get a hotel that night, so that way we can get up in the morning and just go straight to the convention, and then we leave that night. So it's one night in a hotel. We drive down. It's very, very, you know, cheap to go to this. Probably less than a couple grand for, probably not even a grand. Maybe, Yeah, like they're $300 tickets. A night in a Manhattan hotel is probably going to run you $200 to $300. So I would say just under a grand or right about there to go, to go to that. So and we've been going to that since 2005. So we're kind of old school at that particular event. We've been there every single year, and it's thanks to listeners like you becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier. So please join the AMP program. You'll get some cool perquisites. You'll get some bennies. It's amp.freetalklive.com, ampamp.freetalklive.com. Real quick, since the last caller brought it up, and it's addressed in this article, he mentioned the insects. He brought up GMO foods, said that there was some study that said that, you know, the, when given to insects, the GMO foods was destroying them on the inside, basically.
Right.
So this is claim number 9 on Popular Science's 10 Common GMO Claims Debunked. Claim, GMOs harm beneficial insect species. This has been partly debunked. BT insecticides attach to proteins found in some insects' guts, killing select species. For most insects, a field of BT crops is safer than one sprayed with an insecticide that kills indiscriminately. But monarch butterflies produce the same proteins as one of BT's target pests, and a 1999 Cornell University lab experiment showed that feeding the larvae milkweed coated with BT corn pollen could kill them. Five studies published in 2001, however, found that monarchs aren't exposed to toxic levels of BT pollen in the wild. So the difference being, in the study, we're purposely force-feeding it to them. In the wild, they're not encountering that level, so therefore it's non-toxic in the wild.
But you know, where have all the monarch butterflies gone?
I don't know.
Because I saw something about how you hardly ever see them anymore.
A 2012 paper from Iowa State University and the University of Minnesota suggested a glyphosate-tolerant GMOs are responsible for monarchs' recent population decline. The herbicide kills milkweed, the larvae's only food source in and near crops where it's applied.
Okay, so they're just starving then.
I guess. So there you go. There's a little bit of information. So partial debunkery. On that one. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Let's go to Nathan. He is in Texas. And is this the Nathan who used to call in on the phone lines back in the day?
Yeah, but you got rid of the Skype. You got rid of the Skype.
Yeah, thank God. Skype was garbage.
It was terrible.
But we're glad you found us on Discord because Discord's better. Oh, yeah, they basically gutted some of the features out of Skype.
Yeah, as soon as Microsoft got hold of it, it went to hell.
Well, it wasn't as soon as, but they kept reducing the quality of the calls, and it just didn't sound that great anymore in a lot of cases.
I just never had a good experience with Skype.
With Skype?
Yeah.
And then last year, in a mandatory update, they mandated that all Skypes receive the update, so you couldn't avoid it. They then crippled the program in ways that had never, like, they literally took features out of the program. Features that were very useful to those of us doing broadcast. And I'm not going to get into the details of what they struck from the program, but it made it even worse than it had ever been. And at that point, I was just like, you know what? We need to find something else. At that time, we had launched Discord as our chat service. And I'm like, Discord's got voice. Discord sounds good. Why don't we just make some Discord call-in lines? And it turns out that it works pretty great. So glad you found
really
us.
It works really well.
Go ahead, Nathan. What were you calling about tonight?
Well, when you get deplatformed eventually, you know, like we all will be, I guess you'll have a way to take calls. So that's good.
Yeah, I don't expect we're going to get deplatformed anytime soon, but you never know. That stuff can happen.
You could get lucky.
Yeah. It could be the best thing that ever happened. For Alex Jones, when that happened to him last year, when he got kicked off of a couple of different platforms, his downloads of his app went through the roof.
Wow.
He became the number one app on the Apple Store and the Google Store, at least in like the news category.
Yeah.
And he was very high up on just overall downloads.
I think that's only going to happen to you if you're very well known before you get platformed.
Deplatformed. Yeah. That certainly helps.
Yeah.
Yep. Certainly helps. But go ahead.
I had a traffic ticket story for you. So if you're interested. Right. I was caught speeding in a rural area, and I tried to take it to court, but I couldn't do it.
Why?
You know that trick they do where they dismiss the charges like the day before the trial?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did, even though I had kind of halfway prepared for it. I kind of had a defense based on prima facie speed. I didn't really think it was going to work, but
How did you find out the day before they had dismissed the charges?
I got a call from the court clerk, and it was the court clerk number, so I thought it was legitimate, which I guess it was. And she said they decided to dismiss the case, and I didn't have to come in.
Wow.
I went in anyway the next day, and they said they would give me some kind of certificate or something.
Tell me this. You're in Texas, so what's the process like when you challenge? Because a lot of people don't know this, right? A lot of people have received speeding tickets. They've fantasized about, you know, doing something about it, fighting it, but it's usually not. They don't feel like it's worth the time. You got to take a day off from work to go to court. There's stress involved, and you know, some court systems will actually charge you a fee to take a thing to court. So, did you have to? Some courts, for instance, require that you pay in advance the fine. Did you have to do anything like that? Was there like a filing fee or anything?
No,
what was the process?
No. So I went in at the appointed time, and the courtroom was empty except for the prosecutor. I guess the prosecutor, or the DA.
Wait. When you say you went in at the appointed time, do you mean that on the ticket there was, when you were written the ticket, it originally already had on the bottom a time and date for an arraignment?
No. I went in and so I had to do that first. I had to go to the court clerk and I had to say, no, you're right. It did have a time. It had a time and a date to show up.
Okay.
I showed up at that date and said, I'm going to contest this ticket.
Interesting.
You know, I plead not.
The reason I'm asking is because not every state system works the same. In fact, there's some drastic differences between them. So it's interesting to hear how different ones work. Like here, if you get a ticket in New Hampshire, you have to request a trial. You have to actually send it in to the Department of Motor Vehicles with a saying you want your trial. Then they'll schedule you something with the court. You're saying yours was already on the court. All right. Or on the ticket. So,
well, yeah, it was a date, but the idea is that most people would go in on that date or before and pay the ticket. Like I said, you could pay by mail whatever. And the people behind me at line, they were also like, you know, most of them were pleading guilty and
they're all paying up.
I said, you know, not guilty.
Gotcha. Stand by, Nathan. I want to hear more about your courtroom adventure, which turned into a success. You got the case dropped. You didn't even have to show up and go to trial. And that's the ideal. I mean, that's the ideal situation. Nobody wants to go into court. It's scary. It's risky. And there's more on the way here. You can share your thoughts with us. Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Moments remain. There's enough time here if you join us now. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms. They're open and available to you. We got a few of them. So even though we got somebody on Discord right now, we got three open lines. So jump in over at discord.lrn.fm. And don't forget, you can follow us and watch on Twitch, which is our official video streaming platform. Yeah, we're over on YouTube too. But if you want to see the HD quality version of the show, which is the best quality one, that's the one that's on Twitch. So go to twitch.lrn.fm. That'll take you right to our Twitch page where you can follow the LRN channel. You will then get notifications if you've got your notifications options turned on Twitch. By the way, it's free to have an account on Twitch. Then you'll get notifications either via email or if you've got their app on your phone, it'll ping you there whenever it is that we go live, which is pretty handy. And the quality is very, very nice. So go to twitch.lrn.fm. Twitch has its own chat room, by the way. So thanks to the folks hanging out in there, although the majority of our chatters are in the Discord server. So once again, it's twitch.lrn.fm. And if you've got an Amazon Prime account, one of the perks that you get as a Prime member is a free subscription monthly one free subscription per month to a Twitch channel of your choice. You have to assign it every month, though. You can't just set it and forget it. You have to come back month after month after month and reassign. So if you like what we're doing and you're an Amazon Prime member, there's instructions on our Twitch page. When you go to, like, if you go to in a full browser, not on your mobile phone, but like in a web laptop or a computer, and you go to twitch.lrn.fm, you'll find the instructions there on how to link your account. So linking your Amazon account to your Twitch account, which is easy to do because Amazon owns Twitch. And then once you do that, from that point on, it's super easy to assign your free subscription every month. That if you don't assign it, then Amazon just keeps the couple bucks. Otherwise, if you do assign it, then LRN.FM gets a couple bucks out of your subscription. So, you know, it's up to you. Go to twitch.lrn.fm. Nathan is on the line with us in Texas on our Discord server. And Nathan, I think calling in for the first time on our Discord, he was a longtime caller of ours in the past. So welcome back. You were just telling us about how you beat a speeding ticket by not even having to go to trial. And I was asking you kind of the beginnings of this. Laurel's actually here. She's an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't do criminal defense.
No.
You're doing immigration law. Mm-hmm. But you did go to law school, so you have some appreciation for, you know,
criminal law is required.
Yeah, what's going on here? And so what asked you, Nathan, what the process was like there in Texas, just because it's different everywhere. You received a ticket for speeding. Was it your first speeding ticket ever?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So first ever speeding ticket, unlike most people who would just pay it, they want it to go away, they want to cut the check, they don't want to have to think about court or deal with any of that. You were willing to actually take this to court, which is a very special thing. It makes you a very unusual, and I think a lot of people are interested in this process. So you got the ticket. It had a date and time for a hearing at a court, presumably some municipal court in Texas. And you showed up for that court hearing. You put in a not guilty plea. Is that right at that time?
Right. It was a line of people, and the court clerk asks you if you plead guilty and not guilty,
right,
or what was it, nolo contendere or whatever.
Right. And everybody around you is pleading guilty.
Correct. And so she set a time and for a date, and that date was to negotiate with the prosecutor about the ticket, which I thought it would be a trial, but
no, that's a pretrial hearing typically, or whatever it is they call it there in Texas. And that's where they're trying to get you to take a plea, right? Like, you wouldn't take a plea at the window. So now they're going to put the prosecutor in front of you, and he or she is going to try to get a plea out of you. How did that go?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that there is a danger in representing yourself in court.
Sure.
And I didn't even get to court, but that danger is that you might miss a procedural moment. Like, you might not know what to say at the right time. So for example,
sure,
in this case, when I showed up, I actually didn't get called by the assistant or whatever, because I didn't register with the clerk first. And now, it could, except for the,
you had to like register that you were there, like that I'm present.
Correct.
You can call my case.
Like, I was sitting there outside the courtroom with the other people waiting to go in, and I was the last one there. And the guy said, "Hey,
what are you here for? Yeah.
Are you in line?" Yeah. So apparently I was supposed to register with the clerk.
Yeah, that's interesting, 'cause that's totally different than New Hampshire as well. Here, you're going to be, if you're on the docket, they're going to call your name. So interesting.
Yep. And so I went in, and the prosecutor was there with the police officer, and he told me that the court cost would be $100 and the ticket fine would be $30. I'm not sure. It was like $130 or $150. And I didn't really try to negotiate with him. Because basically he said he couldn't do anything about the fee, the $100. And I actually considered maybe paying it if I could bargain him down a little bit. But essentially, he said he couldn't bargain with me, so there was nothing to say. Really.
Well, right. I mean, if it's a court cost, then he doesn't have any ability to waive that. That would be the court's.
And you would have standard to pay that court cost even if you won.
That was going to be another question.
I think he said no, but
really?
I could be wrong. I wasn't sure.
There are places where you have to pay court costs, whether you lose or whether you win, and that's why they tell you those things. Like, well, look, son, you got $100 court costs here, and the ticket's only $30, so why don't you just pay it?
Because the cop is probably not going to show up to court, or if the cop does show up to court, then the city loses money on the cop having to go to court instead of being on the beat. And that's probably why they dismissed her case.
But
the cop was there with
the prosecutor, though, at the pretrial conference?
I'm sorry, what about the prosecutor?
You said the prosecutor was there with the cop, right? The same cop who ticketed you?
No. Oh, sorry, just a cop who was in for the court.
Probably
the
bailiff.
Just a bailiff. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And I noticed one interesting thing he said was that he did present it as, well, you can take this plea or we can take it to trial, and then I'll ask the full cost of the ticket, which will be $200.
Oh.
And I just want to point out, I didn't hit anyone, that no one was injured. I was just, I peeled out of an intersection is what happened. And so, you know, he said, it'll be $300 if you take this to trial, which I, so I did that. And I mean, he wasn't really,
You did what?
I mean, he wasn't a jerk about it. He just was matter of fact about, yeah, well, I'm going to ask for the full fine if we take this. And so that was about it. I mean, I didn't really have a solid idea of what I was going to say. There was something in the Texas regulations about a presumed speed or a prima facie speed which was the speed I was charged with going, which was still over the 55 limit. I thought about maybe going with that, but honestly, I didn't really have a solid plan for what I was going to say.
Well, basically, in my experience with speeding tickets, if you go and the cop shows up, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. There's just no way you're going to get out of it. There's no number of questions. There's no right question that you can ask to get a case dismissed when it comes to speeding. The cop's going to say his, you know, you can ask him about the gun, whether it's been certified. There's a bunch of sort of standard questions that you can throw out there just to plink off the minutes of the cop's time, basically, to make it make it cost time of, you know, the cop's time.
But frequently the cop won't come because he has other things to do.
That's where you win.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, you basically are, well, of course, in some cases they will come because they'll get paid extra. So in some cases they'll actually get overtime to show up to court.
Or if you're a person that the cops don't like.
There's that. Yeah. There's that as well.
Something could have happened that you didn't know about. Like maybe the cop got suspended.
Or or it's just busy. You know, the cop's busy doing something else and they just couldn't make it to court. Mm-hmm. I had a case at Hillsborough District Court actually once where the police officer wasn't there. They called every other case. You know, they waited, put me at the end of the docket just to make sure the officer had plenty of time to show up. And it was in the afternoon. We'd, you know, gone through, I think we made it through lunch or maybe it was just before lunch. But either way, they finally called the case after I'd been there for 3 hours. Cop wasn't there. I motioned to dismiss and motion granted. So I totally, you know, I won that. And so you didn't even have to show up for the trial, though, Nathan. It wasn't even that situation. They called you the day before and told you they were going to drop the charge.
Yeah, and I had planned to ask for community service instead of the fine if I presumably
that's always
that
a good move.
Lose. Yeah, I don't know how it works in New Hampshire. I'm not even sure if the judge would grant the
I wonder if you can get community service for the court costs as well.
That's what I would have asked for, yes. But again, I unfortunately I didn't get to test that or find out how that works in Texas.
Or fortunately, you didn't have to get to that point. But it's this interesting stuff. And what I found is, and I don't know if you can record video there in Texas courts. Do you know if you can easily?
I doubt it, but I could look into that.
You'll want to do that in the future because that's another thing they're going to hate is to actually have this stuff on the record. Every time we put up a video of speeding or parking ticket trials, it's like you want 100,000 views on YouTube. Go ahead and put a speeding ticket trial up there. Because every single one of them that we've ever done, I think, has had more than 100,000 views. People just, we don't have that many viewers on the Freekeen channel.
That's
they're
how I should. That's how I should drive traffic to my channel is to go get a speeding ticket.
They're searching for the stuff. Hey, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing that on that. It's a win. Yep, congratulations, Nathan. Nice job. And this is what happens when you stand up for yourself a lot of the time in the court system. You're certainly going to learn about it, and you might just even win. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.